Bibles, if you can turn to Exodus chapter 15. Just get my things out here. Exodus chapter 15. For those of you who have ever been in my office, I have this hanging up. And if you may not be able to read it, it's the complaint department.
Yeah.
All right. And it says for service, press button. You see what the button is? It's a mousetrap. And the point being, if you want to complain about something, press the button. The mousetrap goes off. You really have something to complain about. It's not a live mousetrap, but you get the point. And also, if you come in my office, the first thing you see hanging on the door is thou shalt not whine. That is one of the commandments. No, it's not, but it's one of my commandments, thou shalt not whine. In this whole scheme of things, and as we look at Israel and the life of this nation now wandering through the wilderness and seeing how God had miraculously and graciously delivered them from slavery in Egypt, delivered them from the army across the Red Sea, and these two great events happened, and not too long after that, they started grumbling, okay? However, before they grumbled, they had a time of praise and worship. And you would think, okay, we have this time of praise and worship, and I'm sure it was a great time, and this is what chapter 15 is about. And you say, after coming off a high like that, just rejoicing in what God has done, and seeing his great power, his might, his grace, his holiness, his glory, 3 days later, they were grumbling. Now, you know, it's easy to point fingers and say, well, you know, that's Israel for you. No, I'd rather say, no, that's us for you. If we're honest with ourselves, we do the same things. And we can come home from a retreat on a weekend, or we can see God do something very great and the next day be grumbling and forget all that he has done. I come from a culture of grumblers. If you've ever been around any old Italian men, they seem to be grumbling all the time about different things. It's not just Italians, you know. I really believe there are people, even believers, who think their spiritual gift is grumbling. If they don't have something to grumble about, they're never happy. Occasionally go to McDonald's and I'll get something to eat, and there's a group of people that come in, older gentlemen, and I can tell you, I can write the script for you. And the script is this: they will find something political to grumble about, they will solve it, and then as soon as they solve it, they'll find another thing to grumble about, and they'll solve it. And they're at McDonald's every day, and then they'll complain about the food and the service. And I say, okay, Lord, help me not to grow old like that. Help me not to grow old like that. We are allowed to complain before the Lord. And the reason why I tell you that is that that's what a lot of the Psalms are. You know, David, Asaph, when they go through hard times, they come and they complain before the Lord. We have perfect liberty in the Lord to do that. The question comes up is, does complaining sometimes turn into rebelliousness? That brings the question into, under the microscope a little bit more. When does that happen? Well, let me take you to chapter 15 first. I'm going to highlight some of the verses for you. And as I highlight some of the verses for you, I want you to get the tone. Israel just came through the Red Sea. They're rejoicing at God's great salvation from the Egyptian army. It says, then Moses and the Israelites sang this song in the beginning of the chapter. I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. Both horses and driver he has hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength. He is my defense. He has become my salvation. What a great song, huh? All these proclamations. He is my God, and I will praise him. My Father's God, and I will exalt him, lift it up to praise him. The Lord is my warrior. And I'm just going to skip down a couple of verses here. If you go down to verse 7. In the greatness of your majesty, you threw down those who opposed you. You unleashed your burning anger. It consumed them like stubble. By the blast of your nostrils, the water was piled up. And recounting the whole scene at the Red Sea. You know, remember when Charlton Heston did the movie, right? He played Moses. And I think there was another movie out recently called Moses. I don't know how true to the biblical account it was. Didn't look so true to the biblical account. But Hollywood prides itself on the special effects and how they do that with computer generation and all of that. God doesn't need it. He doesn't need it. All he has to do is speak it, and it happens. Some of the greatest special effects you'll ever see, and they're proclaiming God's majesty and God's holiness and the defeat of their enemies. And he goes on to say that. And then in verse 13, they go on to say, in your unfailing love. It's the Hebrew word hesed, which is the translation in Hebrew where we get our word grace from. His unmerited love, his unfailing love, you will lead, Lord, the people you have redeemed. In your strength, you will guide them to your holy dwelling. That's an affirmation to say, okay, Lord, we know we're in good hands. I don't have all state, but I know I'm in good hands. You're going to lead because you've redeemed me in your strength, you will guide me. That implies that I am willing to be obedient to the Lord, doesn't it? He can't lead if I'm not obedient by faith in his strength, because in my strength, I'm not obedient. And so he goes on in this song. This is quite a lengthy song. And basically, he says, God is unstoppable. He is unstoppable. We sang about that this morning. He is unstoppable. He will work his will in spite of us. He is unstoppable. Well, Miriam joins and leads the ladies in this celebration near the end of that chapter. And if you go down to verse 21, it says, Miriam sang to them, sing to the Lord, he is highly exalted. Both horse and driver was hurled into the sea, and she was leading the ladies. What a great day it was. Here's what I can tell you. I can tell you that this celebration was probably so great that it probably lasted longer than an hour. It probably lasted all day. And I can tell you nobody was going. First of all, they didn't have Timexes. You know, second of all, they're not as time conscious as we are. They were there and they were exalting God. But look at verse 22. It says, then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went into the desert of Shur. For 3 days, this is 3 days, they traveled in the desert without finding water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink its water because it was what? Bitter. That is why the place is called Marah. It means bitter in Hebrew. So the people grumbled against Moses, saying, what are we drink? Grumble, number one. 3 days. Saying how great God is, affirming that God's going to lead them and God's going to provide for them. Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha. 3 days. And they're grumbling. We're thirsty. Verse 25, then the Lord cried out to Moses and showed him a piece of wood, and he threw it into the water, and the water became fit to drink. Now I want you to listen to what follows this. It says, there the Lord issued a ruling and instruction for them to put them to the test. Listen to me. After every victory that we experience by faith in this life, it will always be followed by a test. It will always be followed by a test. Because God allows those tests so that we can even grow deeper in love with Him and grow deeper in our relationship with Him and grow stronger in our faith. Verse 26, he said, if you listen carefully to the Lord your God and do what is right in His eyes, if you pay attention to His commands and keep all His decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. In other words, the Lord is saying, hey, look, I'm going to lead you, I'm going to take care of you, but you need to be obedient to what I tell you. And if you are obedient to what I tell you, I'm not going to bring any discipline on you. A lot of you are parents. You ever tell your child that? All you have to do is listen and you don't get a timeout. All you have to do is listen and you don't get your games taken away or, you know, whatever discipline is. You need to listen to the Lord. And the Lord is now taking this nation and trying to show them that there is great freedom. There is great blessing. There is great celebration in obedience to God. In the beginning of the service, you know, we said that we declared our independence from England, and that was the Declaration of Independence. For a believer, our freedom is a declaration of dependence. Did you ever think of that? It is a declaration of dependence. We are free when we learn to surrender and depend on Jesus and Jesus alone by faith. That's when we are truly free. Now listen to what I'm going to say. That freedom can be experienced in any government, whether it's a democracy, whether it is a dictatorship, whether it is a totalitarian government, whether it is in a country where it's illegal to name the name of Christ. You know where the fastest growing evangelical church is? China, where it's not cool to be a Christian. Well, God hears the cry. He provides water for them miraculously. And he even gives them a respite. In verse 27, it says, then they came to Elim, where there were 12 springs and 70 palm trees, and they camped there near the water. And then if we go into chapter 16, it says, the whole company of Israel set out from Elim and came to the desert of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the month after they had come out of Egypt. In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites say to them, if we only had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt, there we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted, but you brought us out here to starve this entire assembly to death. Food was scarce. Complaint number two. Did you notice that instead of the people going to God in prayer, who did they complain to? Moses. What was Moses doing? What the Lord told him to do, correct? Listen to me carefully. When you complain about a leader who God has raised up and is doing what God has directed he or she to do, you're not complaining just against the leader, you're complaining against God. That makes sense. And by the way, I don't say that. He says that here a little later on. I want you to notice how God responds. Then the Lord said to Moses, I will rain down bread from heaven for you. For the people are to go out each day, gather enough of that for a day. In this way, I will, here's that word again, test them to see whether they will follow my instructions. This drives me crazy. I'll tell you why. Because maybe because I'm getting old and grumpy. I don't know. But I find that these days most people don't follow instructions. How do I know that? I'll tell you. Every week we print bulletins. And every week some people don't read those bulletins. Well, there's some instructions in those bulletins. Okay? I can tell you that as I was coming here this morning, I saw an off-duty policeman drive the wrong way on a road. Obviously, he's not following instructions that he knows. And I'm seeing this more and more in our culture where we're kind of disregarding instructions and seeing the instructions as restricting rather than freeing. And God wants Israel to know that his instructions lead to the greatest freedom this world has. He wants to teach them that. So he says, I'm going to give them meat during the day. I'm going to for their evening meal. And in the morning, I'm going to rain bread from heaven. But he says, I will test them and see whether they will follow instructions. Now look at verse 5. On the sixth day, they are to prepare what they bring in, and that is twice as much as they gather on the other days. I want to remind you of something here. God has already instituted the Sabbath before the giving of the law. Before the giving of the law. Because I've heard people say, well, Sabbath is an Old Testament conflict. It was under the law. Like that makes a difference. Well, if you want to go that route, I'll argue with you that there were two principles that God gave before the the law. One was the Sabbath, and the second one was tithing. He was preparing his people to say, look, on the seventh day, I want you to rest and honor me. Look what happens. So Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, in the evening you will know that it was God who brought you out of Egypt. And in the morning you will see the glory of the Lord, excuse me, because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we that you should grumble against us? Moses also said, you will know that it was the Lord when he gives you meat in the evening and all the bread you want in the morning, because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we? You are not grumbling against us, but grumbling against the Lord. Now, the instructions were very specific. And you know, they were to go out in the morning and get enough for the day, unless it was the sixth day, and then they were to get enough for both days. But you know what some in the congregation did? They got greedy. And they gathered up more than they can use for a day. You know what God had to do? He had to let the manna turn rotten and wormy so they would learn their lesson to follow the instructions that God would provide. The bread was called manna, and this is where I want to just park right here for today, just for a moment. You know what manna means in Hebrew? Is anybody? It means, what is this? That's literally what it means. They saw this stuff on the ground and he said, God's raining, what is this, you know, from heaven? Manna, we know it was bread. It came in the dew. The dew protected it from being defiled by the elements. And when it got warm, the dew would evaporate. They'd pick the bread and they'd have enough bread. But here's some of the things that occurred to me. God in his grace sends bread from heaven to a rebellious people. Oof. Seems to me that God did that for us too, didn't he? Because Jesus describes himself as the bread of life. And he came from heaven. And when Jesus came, he came to a rebellious people. Me and you. Notice the provision was in the wilderness. The bread from heaven came into the wilderness. It also came by night. Well, the information that we have in the scripture seems to indicate that the bread from heaven was born at night. And it came to this world, which is a wilderness. Angelo alluded to the fact of how far our country has come over the years. That on that date, that 4th of July was not celebrated because it was a Sunday. It was a Sabbath. And boy, we come a long way, baby, huh? And in our own culture, we see our own culture almost like a tsunami now, going farther and farther away from God. For those of us who are followers of Christ, it's like living in the wilderness, isn't it? But Jesus came as the bread of heaven to a rebellious people in the wilderness. The other thing that strikes me is this. The instruction from God was for the Israelites to gather enough for today. Right? Enough for today. I think this is what Jesus had in mind when he was teaching the disciples how to pray. We call the prayer the Our Father. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day what? Amen. What's the word? Daily. Enough for today. In fact, if you were to translate that from the original language, it would read, give us enough for today. Here's what I take from it. And if you disagree with me, you can tell me. Whatever we face going forward, rather than grumbling about it, we can grumble before God. I don't want to take that option off the table. But be prepared, if we grumble before God and we honestly come to him, we better come with open ears and open heart to say, okay, Lord, I'm ready for what you have to say to me. And more than that, I'm ready to obey you when you say it. And usually he'll say it to us through here. But here's what I found. I found that no matter what we face each day, if we choose by faith in God's strength to remain obedient to the Lord, Jesus is enough for the day. We have three people who are going through surgeries this month. And listen, I've been through surgery. Some of you have been through surgery. It's scary. I don't want to downplay it. But if we look to Jesus, he's enough. He'll get us through. Some of us might be facing some financial situations where you're running tight. Maybe you lost a job. Whatever it is, Jesus is enough. He'll get you through. But it's not the type of mentality that we just sit on our holy hindquarters and say, God's going to do it. I don't have to do anything. No. We have to continue to be obedient by faith to what he tells us to do. I don't know if you realize it, but for 40 years, God sustained a rebellious people with the bread from heaven. And then they even complained about that. We're going to look at that down the road. You know, they came before Moses and they said, Moses, how many ways can you make manna? You know, manna parmesan, manna with garlic and oil, manna, you know, how can you prepare? How many ways? We want more meat. And you know what God did? Sometimes he'll give us exactly what we want. He flooded the camp with quail to the point where they couldn't eat it all and it turned rotten. You know, and I say, when will the Israelites learn? And I have to say, when will I learn? And when will we learn about the grace and the provision of God Almighty through Jesus Christ? He came to a rebellious people as the bread of heaven. In fact, I could tell you that when they were complaining about the water being bitter, Scripture says that Jesus is the living water. Huh. What do you say to the woman at the well? He who drinks of me shall never what? Thirst again. Do you realize communion is a remembrance that Jesus is enough? And Jesus, when he instituted the Lord's table on that final Passover, he celebrated with the disciples. He knew what was ahead for the disciples. It wasn't a bed of roses. They were in for persecution. They were in for They were headed for the toughest times they will ever see in their lives. But Jesus was training them to remember that the bread of heaven is enough to meet the challenge for the day. So how about us? I'm going to leave this up on the table. After the service, if you want to complain to him, you can press it. You can complain to him. That's fine. But all I ask is you are ready for his response and ready to obey him. And I ask you to take your direction from here as to how to go forward. I'm going to ask the ushers to come up.